I'll never forget presenting a session in Tiffany the Budgetista Alice's incredible closed Facebook group, Dream Builders Live Richer Academy, all about self-publishing and my course, Make Money with Ebooks. This is a space with around 26,000 women and a few men who've paid to have access to her content and additional content provided by guests that she invites into the group. On that day, I was one of those guests. What's unique about me being a guest in the group at that time was the fact that my course had launched 8 weeks prior to that, off of the success of my first book that I made $540 on during the first month of self-publishing. In 2020, my mission is to help you make more money by monetizing what you already know and using skills that you already have. At the heart of Michelle is Money Hungry is my mission to help empower listeners financially, not only with their personal finance, but with earnings, with making more money. My mission for 2020 specifically is to help listeners make more money this year and beyond, preferably by monetizing and optimizing the skills that you already have. I already knew how to write. I've been writing for years. I wrote my first book when I was in second grade. It was called The Biggest Snail in the World. The fact is, you probably already have the skills and information that you need in order to make money now. And I want to help tap into that. I want to help you tap into that. With that in mind, today's episode, I'm sharing 7 reasons why now is the time to launch the product that you've been thinking about launching but haven't, and ask you, what are you waiting for? To access the show notes, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/time to launch. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/time to launch. Make sure to grab the free mini course, Do It Ugly, with tips on how to launch your first podcast, blog, book, or course. And once you grab that course, you will have ongoing access to weekly in-person or pre-recorded workshops focused on helping listeners make money selling what you already know with skills that you already have. That's also the best way to connect with my brand building lab information as well. I am coaching. I'm doing a coaching program. It's a group coaching program. And so being on that list is the primary way you will be able to access information on the brand building lab as well. I'm very comfortable presenting in front of groups. I can honestly say that I was super nervous about being in front of Tiffany's group. What if I did a bad job? What if they asked questions I couldn't answer? What if I didn't resonate with her community? But I learned a number of lessons from that experience, and the first one is this: when opportunity knocks, answer the door. Tiffany had recently asked for presenters for the Live Richer Academy. I just happened to have a course when she put the request out there. So I decided to pitch my presentation and her team approved it. What if I didn't have that course? I wouldn't have had the opportunity to present to her community of 26,000 people. As the first cohort of students went through my course, I learned several valuable lessons. Here are 3 of the most important ones. The first: your first product won't be your end product. What I launched with during that year is very different than what I do now and what I teach now. How I structure the course, how I run my closed Facebook group, and what I focus on during the course has been tweaked and adjusted since I initially launched. Things change. Your course product or content needs to do what it promised. Whatever you promised the course would do or your book would do, like if your book's supposed to entertain, educate, or inspire, your blog, podcast, whatever you launch out into the world, it has to do what it's supposed to do. And as your students ask questions during the course of that product being out there, you should be listening to those questions and improving your content by answering those questions and making sure that you're giving your people what they want. Number 3, content trumps beauty every time. It almost sounded like I said booty, but beauty. So content trumps beauty every time. I just still feel like it didn't sound perfect. But anyway, there are those of you who keep waiting to launch a course, podcast, or book because you want things to be perfect and pretty. That's a mistake. When I first launched this podcast, it had a different name and the audio was awful. It really was. I was nervous to pitch for guests, a little uneasy about how to conduct interviews, and for the life of me, couldn't figure out if people would even listen to the show. So what I did was focused on getting great guests, asking great questions, and getting comfortable putting myself out there. The thing is, I'm an extrovert. I actually enjoy talking to new people and having random conversations with strangers and asking questions. Despite the fact that I'm an extrovert, I still needed to get used to the process of putting myself out there in a way that was different than what I typically did. Like being a podcaster was different than me just being out in the world with humans, right? Like I'm talking to a microphone right now and it's a different way to connect with people. And I had to make an adjustment in order to do it well. My students, listeners, readers just needed for me to get my course, podcasts, and books out there to do what they were supposed to do. Again, to educate, inspire, entertain, depending on what they were interacting with. So my point is, no one has to this day said to me, Michelle, your course is so ugly. I think it's ugly, but no one's ever said that. Like I have students in there who are still in there and they love it and they interact and they're just enjoying the community and it did what it was supposed to do. I've never had someone sit there and go, you know, I really wish it was prettier. That's not what they need. They need the content to move them from A to B to C to D and so on and so forth. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Like people, it's nice if it's pretty, but if it's pretty and it doesn't do what it needs to do, that's a problem, right? So for example, I write romance books. I love writing romance. It's like that random thing that I do. With romance, the cover sells the book, but I've actually created my covers for several of my books and they sell. They're not perfect. They're not professionally done, but they're good enough. And then I can go back and reinvest my earnings into covers that are better and refine and flesh out the stories so that they're better based on the feedback of readers. Same thing with my course. As I've had the course out there, I've gotten feedback. And so with that feedback, I'm able to improve the course. You see where I'm going with this? It doesn't need to be pretty. At the end of that hour-long workshop in Tiffany's group, it was time to share my course. The workshop itself was selling and sharing the concept that the attendees could become self-published authors too. Then it was time to share my course, but that was so hard, and I'll tell you why. I had to share the course and the price, and I found myself asking the following questions, like inside. Like I was thinking to myself, was I charging too much? No, I wasn't. Was I in the right community for sharing my product? I have some thoughts on that and I'll share that in a minute. Was I using the right language to address the issues that would-be authors of either nonfiction or fiction books were using that would be attracted to my brand? So basically, was I understanding what they really were concerned about? Like if they were really the people who were ideal for my course, did I understand the things that were roadblocking them? Well, if I hadn't launched the course, I would never know, right? That's just how it works. It's like a chicken before the egg kind of scenario. You have to have one in order to have the other. Figuring out what to charge. This is an interesting thing. Like pricing is so tricky. And I'll say that currently my course is priced at three different tiers, ranging from $197 to $647. When I first launched, I soon learned very quickly the type of students I was looking for, the amount of work it took to move some students from doubt to done, and what the cost was in terms of my own time and energy to get them to make the moves that they needed in order to get the results that they were trying to get. There was no way I would or could continue running my course at the initial price that I'd offered it at. Like there was just no way. When you're launching a product, there are several components to figure out, like the components that you need to figure out as you're pricing it, like what's going to be the right sweet spot for you and for your potential customers. And the first thing is, What is the absolute minimum you would like to earn after taxes? How much time does it actually take for you to work with the 20% of students who will take up 80% of your instruction time? Got to ask yourself that question. What is your students' perception of your course based on your pricing? Who are your students? Who are you trying to attract to your course? So for my course, Make Money with eBooks, ideally the ideal student would be a current digital content creator who's been working on their online platform for about a year, and they're looking to write a book, supplement what they're doing. For my coaching program, the Brand Building Lab, I would expand that and say they are looking to either write a book, podcast, create a course, or launch a retreat. Like, they're looking to up-level what they're doing now. And they're nervous about it. And I totally get it because I've done all of those things. Knowing who your students will be will help you to position your products much better. I'm much better at knowing where to share my course in 2020 than I was in 2018 when I initially launched it. That includes connecting with the students who have the basic infrastructure to support the future products that they would like to sell. So in my case, I am concerned that when I work with students who don't have like their basic platform and at least a YouTube channel or a podcast, that it's going to be very difficult for them to ramp up monetizing what they're doing right away. Or to understand when I'm talking about SEO and that kind of thing, search engine optimization, I want them to have at least a basic to low intermediate level understanding of what those terms are, because it'll be easier to transform their situation from not working to working. It gets somewhat easier. The more that you believe in your product and the longer it exists, the easier it is to sell your product. It is much easier for me to substantiate my claims about my products over time for the following reasons. Students provide feedback and testimonials. So the more students I have, the more feedback and testimonials I have, and I can substantiate what I said my course will do with video. Readers provide reviews. So for my romance and nonfiction books, those get reviews. And so I can substantiate the claims that I've made with those, i.e. either to entertain or to educate and inspire, with those reviews. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Listeners provide reviews and downloads. So if you have a podcast, you need listeners to listen and provide feedback via actual downloads and reviews. So your customers will start speaking to you. And in order for them to speak to you, you actually have to launch stuff. That's just the way it works. Market your products in the right spaces. So now that I have a little over a year marketing my course, I have a much better idea of which platforms work best for it. I also have a better idea of how to address the following: the pain points that my future customers are actually struggling with. Basically, why are they afraid to start? And for most of you out there looking to create a product, you're looking at two different issues. One is if you're delaying launching something, you've got a concern or fear that you have to address. But then once you launch your product, you have to address the same thing in the people who you're trying to serve. So again, chicken before the egg. It's time to launch. I hope that this episode has helped encourage you to get started on launching that podcast, writing your first book, creating your course, or first in-person event. Your product has a life cycle just like any living thing. You give birth to it. You nurture it. It matures. Things change. You change. You decide to table it. You decide to let it continue. You decide to give it a rebirth. That life cycle could run a year to 5 years. It just depends. But you won't know unless you launch. I often joke that my course is ugly, but that it gets the job done. And it's true. I've actually made a point of not making it beautiful to make that point. Launching my course has done several things for me: increased my confidence, extended my brand, increased my passive income, given me something to teach and share beyond my original area of focus, which is personal finance, but in the same sphere, which is helping people make money monetizing what they know. It also taught me how to market my projects, goods, and services, which is a special skill set that you can't really develop until you actually have things like that out there. At the time this show is being shared, it's the beginning of 2020. What will launching your product do for you by the end of 2020? What do you plan on getting out into the world? When do you plan to launch? I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to get the free mini course, Do It Ugly, at michelleismoneyhungry.com/time-to-launch. Please stop waiting. Please get your stuff out there. It is the beginning of the year. It takes a while to get all that feedback, interest, focus, and so on and so forth. Please, please get your stuff out there. And I hope that you've been inspired to share your knowledge with your community today. Have a great day. Take care. Bye.